Day number 16. In building projects, a large public gift and a group of leadership gifts can glorify God and result in great generosity and rejoicing. How many of you here have been part of a building fund project at your church? Just raise your hand. Okay. If you're a Christian long enough, that's going to happen. Okay. There's going to be a renovation. There's going to be expansion. There's going to be relocation. But there's a couple things the Bible gives that's very, very insightful that's just helpful to understand. In the Bible, in 1 Chronicles 29, David was raising funds for resources, actually, for the temple. Here's what he says. He gathered a bunch of people. I have gathered as much as I could for the building, the temple of my God. And later it says, and now because of my devotion to the temple of my God, I'm giving all my private treasures of gold and silver to help in the construction. This, in addition to the building materials I've already collected for his holy temple. I'm donating gold and silver and a bunch of other things. Now then, who will follow my example? Who is willing to give offerings to the Lord today? Then the leaders all gave willingly. They gave gold and gold coins and silver and bronze and iron and precious stones. The people rejoiced over the offerings, for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord, and King David was filled with joy. If you're ever in a building project, this, in consulting terms, this is called a lead gift. David gave a lead gift, a significant gift to get this work started. To build buildings takes some large gifts. But this lead gift was used to challenge leaders to together pool their resources, and they gave leadership gifts. So there was a lead gift and there was leadership gifts. And literally that pattern has not changed over the generations. In the buildings we are sitting in here, I don't know the history of this building. I don't know the history of the tabernacle. I don't know the history of the dining room. I don't know the history of the sweet shop. But my sense would be there was someone that gave a very significant gift, and there were others that gave some very generous leadership gifts, and there may have been a whole bunch of people that gave a lot of smaller gifts, but probably 90% or 80% or 70% of these buildings that we enjoy today were because someone and some leaders said, yes, we are going to give generously. And so just to be aware that in your lifetime, there will be some unique opportunities you'll have to give generously to God's work. But some of these people say, well, I can't give generously. Well, when those opportunities come, here's what you need to do. Think in terms of what do you have? What do you have? Just answer that question. What do you have? Because within what you have, there may be something that you can be more generous. Because if you're looking at your income, you say, we can't afford to do anything. But it's not about your income. It may be what you have. That's what David did. That's what the leaders did. From what they had, they gave. A number of years ago, I was part of a church, and we were a church plant, and we started out with 8 people. We were in an aerobics room at a YMCA. That was a great place to be for a new, young, small church, because in that room it was mirrors all the way around. And so we looked a lot bigger than we really were. Because everywhere you looked, you saw people. I mean, it was great. But then we moved out of there. We moved into a movie theater, and we grew to probably about 300, 400 people. And then we tried to buy a racquetball club that was bankrupt in Milwaukee, had been sitting empty. It was a $2.2 million property. We were saving, as a church plant, we were saving 15% of our income every week. We'd give 10% of it and save 15% for a future building project. And within a couple of years, we had collected $50,000 just out of saving some money from the offerings. So we did that, and so we had this money, $50,000. So I went to the bank that owned the racquetball club, and I offered them a cash deal. I said, you're trying to sell this building for $2.2 million. We'll give you $50,000 in cash today if you'd sell it to us. They told me to go away. So I went away. And we kept doing we kept saving a little bit of money. And so I went back, 6 months later, and I said, you know what? I'm going to double my offer. We're going to offer $100,000 for this $2.2 million property. And the guy says, I told you to go away. So we went away. I came back, and several months later, we had now gotten it up to $200,000, and I came to him and I said, you know, we're going to double our offer again, 4 times the original offer. We're going to offer you $200,000 on this $2.2 million property. And he said, I told you to go away. And he says, as a matter of fact, don't you come back until you have a 5 in front of the figure. And I said, I did that the very first offer, $50,000. And he says, no, you have to walk in the door with a $500,000 offer. I said, you'd sell that $2.2 million building to us for $500,000? He said, yes. I said, I'll make the offer right now. He said, do you have the money? I said, no, I don't. I have $200,000 in cash. I said, I'm making the offer right now, and we got 90 days. And 90 days, we'll give you $500,000 for that building. He said, fine, sign up, sign the papers. So we signed the papers, and we had 90 days. It's a blue-collar community, working class, nobody wealthy in the group. And we gathered the people and said, from what you have, we're going to see if God will be in this. One of the stories I remember out of that, so here we're in this building project, no wealthy people, no lead gifts, did have leaders that committed some things. But anyway, the one gal comes to me and she said, you know, I make minimum wage. She goes, I barely make it. But she says, I really want to help in this project. And she said, you know, I do have this really, really ugly necklace from my great aunt. She said, you know, she was kind of a wealthy woman, so this might be worth something. And she said, I'm just wondering, can I give the necklace to the church? I said, well, you know, we can't really use the necklace, but if you can, like, take it somewhere and have it appraised and sold, you know, that would be great if we could get the proceeds from that. And so she went and did that, and she, with great joy, came and brought an offering of $2,700. $2,700 because of this ugly necklace that she would never wear that was stuffed in the drawer. She gave from what she had to this building project. And I just, you know, I look back on that experience, and in 90 days, we handed the guy a check. The check was this big. We had one of those big ones made up, and we handed him a check for $500,000 cash. And then he said, you stole that building from us. I said, no, no, we gave you what you wanted, $500,000 cash. And today it's a church of about 800 on the south side of Milwaukee. But you see, that was a God moment. But you know, people, you have to realize that those moments will come sometimes in your life, sometimes multiple times, but at least once, and learning to release those resources. December 31st this year, I had a lunch with somebody, and he said to me, he wanted to meet with me about giving a big gift. Our church is looking at relocating in the future. We're right down the street from Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs. We have a grand total of 67 parking spots. We have about 600 people attend the church, and so it's a little challenging. Anyway, this guy came up to me this year, and he told me the story. He said, I need to tell you a story, Brian. He says he had a little cabin. He called it a cabin. It was up in Breckenridge, Colorado. His cabin was very nice. It was on the market for $4 million. 8 bedrooms, 9 bathrooms, an elevator, and all this. But he had the cabin, his cabin, on the market for 4.5 years, and nobody was buying. And he moved the price around, and nobody bought it, and so forth. And one day he was having lunch with his wife, and he said, you know, well, maybe the reason God hasn't had us sell the cabin yet is we don't know what we would do with the money. He owned it debt-free. He owned this cabin debt-free. And he said, you know, we don't know what we'd do with the money. And so he said, well, what would we do with the money if we got $4 million? For this cabin. And they started talking. He says, you know, I really would like to give $1 million to our church for the future relocation. So they wrote that down on the napkin. And I really want to help the poor and the needy and widows and, you know, orphans. And he wrote that down in the napkin with an amount. And they really wanted to make a change in their residence, and they wrote that down, and they wanted to do something with some investment property. They wrote that down. And so they just said, wow, for the first time, we know what we'd do with $4 million if we had it. Sitting there 4.5 years, no, not a single offer. The next day, they got an offer. And within 3 months, the house sold. And within 3 months, they had a check for $4 million. When I look at that story, I just thought, isn't it interesting, God's timing? It wasn't until the man declared what he would do with that money that then God brought the release. Brought the release. Because they said, I'd give $1 million. So anyway, he's having lunch with me, and then at the end of the year, on December 31st. And so he says, so here's what I'm thinking, Brian. I'm going to give the church $200,000, and then I'm going to take $800,000, I'm going to put it in a property, and then someday when the church needs the money, you let me know and I'll sell the property. And I said, you know, the money's yours. You can do anything you want with it. But didn't you say your whole goal was to give $1 million to the project? He says, yeah. And I said, and don't you actually have that money, like, in the checkbook? He's like, yeah. And I said, it sounds to me if God put a desire in your heart, and then God allowed that sale to happen, and God put those funds within your hands, wouldn't the right thing to be is just give the million? Be done with what you've, in a sense, vowed unto the Lord, rather than you give us a little bit, and then we might find something, but then we have to wait on you to sell a property, and who knows what the market will be. And I said, that sounds messy to me. And he said, wow, I haven't thought of it like that. Let me go home and pray about it and talk to my wife. So he goes home, prays about it, and talks to his wife. He says, Brian, can you meet me at 4 o'clock in the Staples parking lot? So I did. And for the first time in my life, I sat with a check in my hand for $1 million. For $1 million. Now, our church hasn't figured out where God has us, where he's going to have us go yet. But you see how that gift literally will obviously spur the future of our church. Our church is 113 years old. But the future of our church and the future of our congregation is certainly linked to that kind of a generous gift.